The overcoming believer, being victorious believer. That's the thing that we're talking about here for the next few weeks. Now this morning, one of the topics that we're going to be talking about is the idea of self-control. Or, what do you really want? That's what it comes down to. What do you want? You know what a hypocrite is? A hypocrite is the guy who says, I want that, but he does this. And he says he wants that just for the benefit of everybody else. What he really wants is what he really wants. And so the question, you know, we can end it right now. Go home. Think about it. What do you really want? That's where it's at. Now, I sat down and I was getting ready to prepare this, a sermon. You know, and as much as I've talked about it, and as much as I've preached about it, as much as I've written about self-control, you'd think that it would be more evident in my life than it is, right? Should be. I've got to work on it just like everybody else. It does not come automatically. We'll talk about that in a minute. But self-control is a very important topic in Scripture. You just read through the Proverbs. Many of us are doing that. Today happens to be the 18th, and so today we read chapter 18 in Proverbs. We get those Proverbs under our belt, and it's this way every time. You go through it. Next month on the 18th, you're going to read something new in that 18th chapter of Proverbs. I can guarantee it. You're not going to absorb it all in one pass. And so it is a good practice to get into. But there's a lot of self-control that's taught, a lot of things about it. In the Scripture, Jesus says things like, be aware, take heed, pay attention, be on guard. Why? Why should I be on guard? Well, because it's my responsibility. That's why. Well, that's the thing about self-control. You know? It's self-control. That suggests it's about you and me. When it says self-control, who's it talking about? Me, myself. That's what there is. And so self-control isn't something that's going to happen to you. That's what I've come to find that out. I try to get that across to people as often as possible. You know, things that happen to you is something like getting older. You don't have to work at that. It just happens. You don't have to worry about your hair falling out. It just happens. Or turning gray, you know, it happens like that. You get sick. It happens to you. But self-control does not operate like that. Self-control really is about what you want. That's all there is to it. Well, I know that we have commercials on TV, the media, and advertising always telling you, you're the one who's most important in all the world. Get what you want. Well, that's not always the case. But when it comes down to self-control, as I said before, there isn't a pill that you can take. You can't go down and get a prescription for self-control, go to the drugstore, get it filled, take one every night before you go to bed, wake up in the morning with self-control. That ain't going to happen. So there's some good news and bad news. Good news and bad news about self-control. The good news, bad news scenario. The good news is, it's up to you. You don't have to wait for Congress to pass a bill. You don't have to wait for some cosmic thing to happen. It's up to you to decide now. You want to have self-control. That's the good news. You don't have to get permission from anybody else. It's up to you. That's the good news. You know what the bad news is? Bad news is it's up to you. That's the bad news because nobody can make you do it. Nobody can force you to do it. You can't lock you up, tie you up, torture you, coerce you. Nobody can do that to me. I went through boot camp. I was in the military. I know how they try to force you to do things, but they didn't quite take on me because my will is pretty strong. You see, what do you want? That's what's important. That's why that question of what do you want is so important. Do you want to be like Jesus? Well, do you or not? See, that's the question. What do you want? The good news is it's up to you. It happens to be the bad news, too. It's up to you. So, are you ready for some more? Do you agree with this statement? I have to tell you that there's not going to be a lot of scripture in this talk today. We're talking like friends here, okay? I'm sharing with you my struggle. And I know that you're gonna identify with it. Because we all have the same one. So I'm going to ask you, do you agree with this statement? Our will is the toughest thing to overcome. How many people agree with that? All right. If you don't know yes or no to that, if you have no opinion, it's probably because you haven't tried. And if you haven't tried, you know, that's a bad thing. If you haven't tried to overcome your own will. Our will is the toughest thing to overcome. Have you ever tried this? Now this isn't, we're not getting into the serious stuff here, I'm just curious. Have you ever tried telling yourself no when you really wanted something? Nothing life-threatening. It's like you want that Three Musketeers bar. No, put it back. I've got a friend up in Oregon who told me for exercise he would eat just half a candy bar and put the other half down. I said, why? He said, I wanted to see if I could do it. Now, isn't that interesting? And he did. He's one of the most self-controlled individuals I know. But it doesn't come just by candy bars. Our will is the toughest thing we have to overcome. You probably know these words, like urges. You get an urge for something. Or, I can't help it. I don't know why I can't help it. What an excuse that is. I can't help it. Somebody's lying to somebody there. Yeah, you can help it. I don't know why I did it. How many ever used that? When your mother says, why are you, I don't know. I don't know why. Stop and think about it. The reason you don't know is because you haven't really given it any thought. That's from my opinion. And I'm saying that based upon when I said, I don't know why, when I looked, yeah, I could figure out why. I knew why. We get these urges. And urges, you know, are not one of those things that can't be overcome. You get an urge to do something. And it's like if you get an urge, man, you've already jumped off the cliff. No, you haven't. It's not like that. Only we think it is. So, because our will is the toughest thing to overcome, I think a logical question would be, is there any motivation to do that? Is there any practical help? Can the Bible give us any help to do this? To exercise self-control? You know, I think it's easy enough to come up with the motivation. It might be a little more tougher, more difficult to come up with the practical help, but I'm going to try it this morning. You see, there is a necessity for each of us to understand by experience. There's a necessity for each of us to know how self-control feels. How does it feel to be in control? Because if it's going to be real, we'll ask ourselves, how will it feel? If it's going to be real in my life, the self-control thing, how's it going to feel? What's my experience going to be like? I think it's that necessity to know how self-control feels so we know we've gotten it. We're on the right track. We're heading in the right direction. You know, think about this a minute. You know how giving in to the flesh feels because there's a reward. I'm not saying it's right or wrong. I'm not going there yet. But you know how it feels when you give in to one of those urges, one of those temptations. You know how that feels because there is a reward to it. And that reward was what enticed you in the first place. You didn't want the reward. There was no temptation. There was no urge. But you know how that reward feels. What I'm suggesting here is we get the experience of knowing how it feels not to give in. You see, that reward is never floated out there on big billboards. The reward of self-control is not something that's broadcast over the television. Because advertisers and salesmen don't want you to exercise self-control and not buy their products. You see, we need to understand what that feels like. If it's going to be real, if self-control is going to be real in my life, what's it going to feel like? What's that experience all about? That's what we want to know. So, first, the motivation. Why should I be? Why should I be self-controlled? You say, Pastor Chuck, you're just standing up there talking, blowing hot air, don't mean nothing. Now, why should I? Well, let me give you a couple of reasons here. Psalm 111, verse 10. It says, the fear of Yahweh is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of Yahweh is the beginning of wisdom. And I know that it's not real popular in Christian circles to say we should have the fear of God because that's too harsh and scary. But listen, Psalm 111 verse 10 says that's where wisdom comes from. And I want to say it is the beginning of understanding self-control. That's included in the wisdom. You read the first 5-6 chapters of Proverbs, 9 chapters of Proverbs, and see if wisdom does push us to exhibit and exert self-control. See if it doesn't do that. Self-control isn't that wisdom. You want to find self-control. Fear of God is the first place to go. Fear of God. You know, it's like He's watching you. He knows what's going on in you. He hears you. Now think of something. You don't want somebody watching you because of something they might do or say or retaliate with. And so because they're watching now, we mind ourselves. We take care. We exercise self-control. But God watches us all the time. And when we go off and do what we want, even though we know He watches, you see, we're not afraid of Him. Who cares what He thinks? You see? And that attitude pervades a lot of people nowadays. The fear of God is the thing that's going to begin this wisdom process in us. That's the why. Why should we? Well, we crave control, don't we? Don't you crave control? You don't have to raise your hand unless you want to, but how many of you don't like riding in a car on the passenger side? That's a control thing, you know that? How many would rather drive than ride in a vehicle? See, it's a control thing. We crave control. How many want to use the clicker for the TV? How many want that by them? Like at my house, when I'm sitting down, it's right there where I can grab it. When I go, I give it to Carol because I don't care. We crave control, don't we? Sure we do. Sure we do. has the weather ever interrupted something you wanted to do? And if you could, you would have changed the weather? Sure. See? We crave control over situations. We want things to be done the way we want them to be done. We want it to be nice. We want to have control over other people. Because, they might embarrass us. They might say something that's hurtful. They might not do what we want them to do. They might not do it the way we want them to do it. So we crave that control over people. But in all of this, we need to have control over ourselves. But, we don't really crave that. We think giving into the flesh is the same as having self-control. Too often it's not. It is not the same thing. But we want to take God's place. We want to control things. And that is not our responsibility. Controlling people is not our responsibility. We're not talking here about training up children in the way that they should go. We're talking about controlling other people, being in charge and not liking it unless I am in charge. We talked a little bit about that in Sunday school this morning. Is it all right to say to somebody, whatever you want, that's good. I'm happy with what you want. Is it all right to say that? Pretty much everybody says, yeah, Chuck, you can have it your way. But there's nothing wrong with that. What we need to do is exercise this control over ourselves. And that's where it's at. So I want to give, there's one verse right there, Psalm 111, verse 10. But I want to go to some non-biblical quotes. Some of these are cool. You can find all kinds of things on the internet nowadays. Punishments. They make us obey the orders given, but that's only obedience to authority. It does not make us self-controlled. It doesn't. Think about this a minute. I used this phrase a long time ago, cruise control Christians. Cruise control Christians. 3 C's. Driving down the freeway, LA doesn't really apply, but back east when you get an open stretch and there's not much traffic, that's a different story. You set the cruise control for the speed limit. And you're traveling 70 miles an hour. That's the speed limit. You set the cruise control and away you go. And I sat back and thinking, see how such a law-abiding citizen I am. I'm driving the speed limit. No, you're not. The car is. You take the cruise control off and put your foot on that gas pedal and see how law-abiding you are, really. And so just obeying the speed laws is just obedience to authority. It does not make us self-control. It doesn't make us that. For every man, there's a bait he can't resist swallowing. For every man, there's a bait he can't. James tells us about this, talks about this when he says that the man, we are lured away by our own lust and enticed to sin. You see, there's a bait that we just can't resist swallowing. Temptations come, as a general rule, when they are sought. It's really about what you want. If you don't want it, it's not going to be a temptation. Think about that. Lack of discipline leads to frustration and self-loathing. And that lack of discipline, if it's left unchecked, it can lead to all sorts of fights and arguments. Because we don't like ourselves, we don't like others. Well, you don't like yourself, and you don't think other people should have a good life either, so I'm going to ruin it for you too. Mine's not so good. So the lack of discipline leads to that. So, what about the practical help? What about that? Listen to yourself when you withhold something. Listen to yourself when you withhold something. What is the argument you're having with yourself? Okay. I'm not going to have it. I'm not going to do it. Well, right now. I'm going to wait 20 minutes. That's not what I mean. None. Withhold it. What kind of an argument do you have with yourself? Listen to yourself. Here's another non-biblical quote. When the fight begins within himself, the man is worth something. You see, if there is no battle inside of us over who's got control, the flesh or the spirit, There's nothing. I shared this with Edie Friday afternoon. Remember that story? It was a story about it's an Indian legend that inside of a man there are two dogs, one good, one bad, and they're always fighting with each other. And the little boy asked his grandfather, well, which dog wins this battle, this fight? The old man said, whichever one you see, the other one will die. If you want to keep feeding the flesh, satisfying the flesh, it's going to raise up. So you need to know which dog do you feed. Do you feed the spirit or the flesh? Do you sow to the spirit or do you sow to the flesh? That's scriptural language. The wisdom of the prudent, in Proverbs 14:8 says, the wisdom of the prudent is to understand his ways. And I have to be honest here with you. One of the toughest things for me is to have my sermons preached back at me. And that's exactly what has happened here a few days back. In a conversation with an individual. Heartfelt conversation. And this individual said to me, well, what's going on? Isn't the wisdom of the prudent to understand the ways? Tell me, what's going on inside of you? They're asking me to do this. And wait a minute. Sermons are good for everybody else, but no, I'll take it, really. That's where the wisdom is of the prudent, to understand his ways. And so I think perhaps a meditation mantra should be something like this. Lord, when this is real in my life, how is it going to feel? Find something in Scripture. Like Proverbs 14:8, for instance, the wisdom of the prudent is to understand his way. If I'm going to understand my way, Lord, if I'm going to do this, how is it going to feel for me to understand my way? How am I going to pull this apart? I've got a computer. You know, a laptop computer, you've got the mouse pad, put your finger on it, you make the cursor go all over the place, and then you hit one of the sides. Or you can use a mouse. Put your hand right on this thing and move it and click the mouse. So I know how both of those feel. I know I don't really like the touch pads. I'd rather have a mouse, you see. But I know how both of them feel. And I know when, because I know how they feel, I know when I'm using which one. The same thing with the flesh and the spirit. Is the flesh controlling me or is the Spirit of God controlling me, the Spirit of Yahweh? This is something we need to consider. How is it going to be real in us? That's where it's at. How is it going to be, if I'm going to do the self-control thing, how is it going to be real? If I take this truth on, how will it change the way I act and speak and think? If I start exercising self-control, how am I going to act differently? Well, people see it. Doesn't matter. God will. How will I speak differently? He'll help you. A little more motivation. Proverbs 14:12 says, there is a way that seems right to a man. There is a way that seems right to a man because he can come up with the right arguments, come up with the right justification, the rationalization, all of these things. There is a way that seems right to a man, but the end of it's destruction. But its end is destruction. That should be motivation. You know, that's not enough. Well, let's look at Proverbs 30, verse 12. There is a generation that is pure in its own eyes. We're not doing anything wrong. We're not doing anything bad. There is a generation that is pure in its own eyes, yet it is not washed from its filthiness. Is that enough motivation? Don't rely on your own understanding. Don't rely on your own understanding. Can't rely on what's in front of us unless it's God's Word. Jeremiah 17:9 says that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can understand it? And if follow your heart is the thing that's going to lead you down the wrong road. Definitely. Matthew 7:21-22. Not everyone who says to me, Jesus says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. But he who does the will of my Father in heaven, let him say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? Have we not cast out demons in your name? And done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness.
We were doing good things. We thought we were following our heart. It was okay as far as we were concerned.
There's a new program I found on TV. It's crazy. This is really wild. I watch it whenever I get a chance, but it's called Locked Up Abroad. Anybody seen that? Locked Up Abroad. People get thrown in prisons in other countries, Americans in other countries, and so they tell their story. Most of these people have survived and are out now. But the major theme that runs through most of these things, that the common thread through all of these stories is, they were in some foreign country and they got hooked up with a drug dealer and tried to smuggle drugs somewhere and they got caught. And everybody that I've seen on this program says, I shouldn't have done that. Well, now's a fine time to think about it, right? But I just had this need. And so by doing this and getting caught and spending 10 or 12 years in prison, how did that help? Tell me how this fulfilled this need you had. We can think everything's going to be fine. We can talk ourselves into everything's going to be okay. But Jesus is warning us. It's got to be done according to the will of God. So this is important. It is important. Don't be deceived, first of all. It's up to each of us. What feels good isn't always good. The old song is incorrect. It's not correct. How can it be wrong if it feels so right? Yeah, it can feel real, real, real good and still be very, very wrong. Don't be deceived. Learn how it feels to be self-controlled. Learn how it feels. It took me a long time to learn how it feels to run a marathon. It took me a long time. But I know exactly what it feels like. I can still remember mile 25. I got another mile to go. And that marathon was just a little longer than I really wanted, but I knew what it felt like to finish that race, to cross the finish line, to sit down and be so exhausted I couldn't lift my feet again. But you can't get that experience unless you do it. You won't know how it feels unless you do it. Getting self-control is the same way. We need to learn how it feels to be self-controlled.